May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:35. Our gospel lesson today harkens back to Maundy Thursday. We remember the new command, the new mandate that our Savior gave at the Last Supper that he had with his disciples. Love one another. And you might be wondering, hearing this, well, then how is this exactly different from the summary of the law, loving God and loving our neighbor? Well, in some ways, it really isn't. I mean, we are each indeed each other's neighbor. So loving the person who's next to you in the pew as yourself isn't really a whole lot different from loving the person who lives next door to you. Similarly, if we consider that we are Christ's body, loving your fellow Christians is a very tangible way of loving God. But if we understand what it means to truly be the church, then we should recognize that Jesus is calling his disciples to a pretty intense level of commitment when it comes to how we love. Our first hint is in the fact that we are Christ's body, as I just mentioned. When the people outside of the church meet us, we who claim to believe and follow Jesus Christ as Lord, we are in a very real sense their connection to the triune God himself. We aren't just ambassadors of heaven, though we are that indeed. People see us who are in his church and rightly expect to encounter Jesus. If the Spirit dwells in you and you are united by baptism in the one faith, then you are united to Jesus Christ himself, just as your own hands and feet are united to you. And while you may not be acting very Christ-like or feeling particularly religious at various points in your life, you are still the main way that people outside of the church will ever meet Jesus for themselves. Likewise, if we recognize that the church is here primarily to model what the new creation actually is, to demonstrate what it means to have Jesus in control of your life, then we quickly realize that we are summoned to a high calling indeed. No longer will we depend upon the priest alone to carry out the mission of the church. We will wake up to the fact that we are all missionaries on Christ's mission field for Jesus. We are all ministers in the church. We are all representatives of God's embassy here on earth. People who wonder what heaven is like should be able to look to the way that we interact with each other and find it pretty easy and compelling to have a positive answer to that very question. People who worry that God is out to get them should see our forgiving and gentle spirits and say, well, if Jesus is the difference between these church people and the usual miscreants that I bump into every day, then maybe there really is something to this whole Christianity thing. On top of all that, our union with Christ by faith and baptism means that there is an indissoluble connection between God and us. We are buried with Christ and raised with him in those very waters. That baptismal grace is activated when we take hold of the gift of faith that Jesus gives us and actually begin to use it. The Spirit himself lives within every single believer to lead us and guide us into all truth. In fact, that very same Spirit plants in our hearts the recognition that God is our Father and that we are adopted into His family. And because He gives us the same rights and privileges as His only begotten Son, because Jesus Himself is happy and pleased to share what's rightfully His with us. I mean, is there anything half so wonderful as being intimately and unceasingly joined in a bond of love with the very Creator of earth and heaven? Who we are as the church means that the love that Jesus is commanding us to share with one another should be qualitatively different than the usual stuff that passes as love. It's one thing to love a God who we imagine is way up in the sky. It's quite another thing to love a God who is actually present in the very people who claim to follow Him. It's one thing to show love to a neighbor who we get maybe a glimpse of a couple times during the weekend. It's something completely different to love a neighbor who is intrinsically connected to us in the church in ways that are deeper than even human words can express. When Christ commands us to love one another, He is giving us a way to love God and neighbor at the same time. Because in the church, God is so extraordinarily interconnected with His people and we with one another that to love one is to love the other. Heck, you could even say you're loving yourself when you love a fellow believer in Christ, because we are so unified in Christ already that the love that we share reverberates in every single direction among us. Hopefully, however, you recognize that divine love doesn't worry about the self because it fervently wants to do what it can to promote the good of those outside of the narcissistic bubbles that we sometimes trap ourselves in. Christ's love is even willing to take the hit for the sake of others, because it knows that love is the one commodity, if you will, that somehow multiplies the more you give it away, if you want to use a crass economic analogy. Also, in loving one another, the world gets to see what the kingdom of God looks like. They see reconciliation with God through the works of the incarnate, crucified, and risen Lord in and among us. They see hearts changed from sinful lust to sacred love. They see people learning how to be patient, kind, generous, and grateful. They observe what terms like fairness, justice, and solidarity really mean as Christians champion the humanity of those who are outcast and disposable in our greedy, ravenous, and rapacious society. They begin to realize their biggest enemy isn't someone who talks or looks or even believes different from them, but their own slavery to sin and death and their complicity in satanic systems and values. They awaken when they realize that the rule of Christ as King of Kings isn't tyrannical, but benevolent, and that it promotes all that's good and beautiful and true, not looking for an excuse to smite us, however deserving we may be. So the question Jesus asks us today is simple. Do you love one another? Of course, someone may be thinking, well, if I don't like so-and-so, does that mean that maybe I'm not really a Christian? Well, my impish side would say, well, maybe. But in reality, we're all on a steep learning curve in Christ. Grace means that God credits our future reality to our present experience. I may not be fully loving yet. But Jesus has spoken his life-giving word into my heart, and I am growing more loving day by day. Sometimes in fits and starts, sometimes it great leaps forward, sometimes against my sinful resistance and my desires on occasion. The same is likely true for you. If you've been baptized, God's Spirit is already at work in you. And when you own the faith once delivered to the saints personally, you begin to see grace seeping into every corner of your being. That means God's own love is there, able to transform that which is broken, sick, even devastated. So instead of dwelling on the ways that we aren't loving one another, we should sharpen our attention to recognize ways that we can show love for each other personally. We can see opportunities to love in those virtues that we call the fruit of the Spirit: peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, forbearance, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Love. Yeah, love. It's a command and a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. We can engage in the corporal acts of mercy, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the imprisoned, caring for the sick, burying and honoring the dead. Also, we can practice the spiritual acts of mercy, admonishing the sinner, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, comforting the sorrowful, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving all injuries, and praying for everyone. We won't perfect love in this life, but we can grow in love from now until we see its perfection when we are raised into the promised new heavens and new earth. And for that, we depend upon the Holy Spirit in us, the Savior who defeated sin and death for us, and the Father who loved us so much that he made us a part of his family. It's all grace. So, do you love one another? If you'd like to grow in that kind of amazing love, then let us pray this prayer together. Oh God, give me strength to live another day. Let me not turn coward before its difficulties or prove recreant to its duties. Let me not lose faith in other people. Keep me sweet and sound of heart in spite of ingratitude, treachery, or meanness. Preserve me from minding little stings or giving them. Help me to keep my heart clean and to live so honestly and fearlessly that no outward failure can dishearten me or take away the joy of conscious integrity. Open wide the eyes of my soul that I may see good in all things. Grant me this day some new vision of thy truth. Inspire me with the spirit of joy and gladness, and make me the cup of strength to suffering souls. In the name of the strong deliverer, our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.